I've entitled this morning's message, Pentecost. Pentecost. Praise God for Pentecost. Let's turn in the Word of God to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, and then we'll read some verses from chapter 2. A few moments ago I spoke about a force revival, a force pouring out of a spirit which is clearly not the Holy Spirit. Now the devil would say, and our own unbelief would say, oh well, we better, you know, go all reformed and deny the working of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. God forbid! We need the Holy Spirit. We need him manifested amongst us and individually. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former account I made, O Theosophus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The former account, of course, was Luke's gospel. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Praise be to God. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, Whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, They are full of new wine. Pentecost. I reckon to the 10 days that the disciples had waited since the Lord had ascended on high, must have seemed a very, very long time. 10 days after they had seen their Saviour, their Master, their friend, their companion, their teacher disappear from earth, the clouds came and he was out of sight, ascended on high. What an amazing sight that must have been. What an incredible sight that would be. I guess the faces of the disciples would have been something to behold, wouldn't you? The look, the picture on their faces as they saw the one they love suddenly transported on high. Something to see. We see in read in verse 10 of chapter 1, while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, they were gazing steadfastly. Their eyes were transfixed on disappearing Jesus. I'd love to have seen their faces as they were looking up. They remember, hey, look up still, because he's going to come back again. And especially brothers and sisters, as we see some of the horrible things which are happening both in the world, the dark, depraved things happening in the world, the 13th young person has died in London at the hands of the gun and knives this year. Awful things taking place. Our hearts would naturally fill with fear that we're concerned. When we see, as we've talked about, this so-called Florida revival, when we see what's going on in the church, the emerging church, changing church, to what it is not in the Bible, but to something new to fit the modern culture. Look up! Behold, the day of your redemption draws nigh. Look up, because your Saviour, your coming King, is returning. Blessed be his name. Look up. Oh, and every eye will behold him. What a picture our faces may be, especially if we're eagerly looking forward to him coming. Wow. Well, I think their uplifted eyes set the tone for the 10 days that followed as they looked for Christ's return, because they were looking for his return. But of course, at that time, as they were looking up after the ascension, these 10 days, they were quite rightly and understandably looking for his return via the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and an outpouring of spiritual power. Because they remembered the words of Jesus as recorded in John's Gospel. Look, I've got to go away. I've got to go back to my Father. I've got ministry to do up in heaven, which will impact your lives on earth and those who will follow. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you without a friend. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. And if you tarry here and wait, you will get the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So not only, Christian, are we indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we have the anointing within us, for without the Holy Spirit we don't belong to the Lord, but there is the pouring out, the outpouring, the demonstration, the manifestation of God being poured out, the Holy Spirit. One God, triune God, but this is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I will give you another comforter, a friend. I will give you myself, but it will be the Spirit of God. I'm going to remain with my Father until it's time to come back. What a gracious God. So they were looking for Jesus to come in power in the Holy Spirit. They were sure of it. They were sure he would come. But I'm sure also they thought, is he? Perhaps we misheard him. They got so many other things wrong. Perhaps they got this wrong as well. We are like that at times, aren't we? Did he really say that words? Satan's been saying that right at the beginning, hasn't he? Faith says, yes, he did. And he's a God of his word. Well, I think it was also true that in this 10 days waiting, because after all, well, in this 10 days waiting, I think that they would have realized that they were empty. I think they realized that they were empty. I think they increasingly realized their need to be filled. I really do. Because during all this time that they had known Jesus, 3.5 years, whatever, they had been with him. They had experienced his awesome company. They had enjoyed his friendship. They were spellbound at his knowledge of the scriptures. They were enraptured with his obvious, intimate relationship which he had with his Father. They had witnessed the miracles of salvation and deliverance. At times they would have been uneasy, perhaps, at the way Jesus dealt in a straightforward, no-nonsense way with the religious people. They had been with him. They had been enthralled by his constant references to the kingdom of heaven. And even after his resurrection, he still came among them. He still appeared. And now he was gone. Their friend had gone. So they were running on empty. They had seen Jesus spend whole nights in prayer. Now, what could they do? They were on empty. Maybe, possibly, ringing in their ears were what Jesus, they reminded themselves of what Jesus had said in John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And now he'd gone. Same for us. Apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. We can do plenty in our own strength. Oh, we can build houses and all sorts with wood, hay and stubble. But that won't last. That will all be burnt away. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. They had a need. They were eagerly anticipating Pentecost. Acts 2 and chapter 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They hadn't moved. They were there, waiting, expectantly. Wasn't sure what was going to happen, but they were there. If you've got an appointment, if God's made an appointment with you, don't you go missing. Don't you go missing. Oh, I don't want to miss the fellowship of the church on Sundays. I would hate Jesus to turn up and I'm not there, and I expect him to be here when the gathered company comes. He lives within me. I don't want excuses not to be in the house of God. Bad enough if you're ill and you can't come. We've got to be in one place with one accord and see what God will do. Well, at Pentecost, the reviving wind of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles with incredible spiritual life and power. Praise God. You know, wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Hebrew for wind is ruach, and the Greek is pneuma. Both describe the Holy Spirit. Both describe the Holy Spirit. They are words used for the Holy Spirit. The reviving wind, the power of the Holy Spirit came with power upon the disciples. I think the fire coming upon them and separating was a one-off dramatic event. But it truly demonstrated God had kept his word. The promised Spirit had come. The church was born in the power of God. The reviving wind of the Spirit came upon the apostles. Then there was the fire, wasn't there? The fire. Fire, of course, is a symbol of God's awesome power. We see fire is present throughout the scripture. We see it at the burning bush, don't we? Yeah. We see it on Mount Sinai, the consuming fire at Mount Sinai. It's a symbol of God's presence, isn't it? The fire at Pentecost very much indicated, very much confirmed the presence of God. Hallelujah. Well, we need the fire of God's Spirit. Oh, fire purifies, doesn't it? It cleanses, gets rid of the dross, the muck, the dirt, the unsavory, the loose talk, the bad companionship. Fire purifies, makes us holy if we let it. Fire, the presence of God. This power, awesome power in fire. Oh, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit. We really do. We need the presence of the Lord. Thirdly, they spoke with new languages, didn't they? I do believe that the gift of tongues was the reversal of God's judgment that happened at the Tower of Babel. I believe it was a reversal of God's judgment. This was His mercy. And they all heard this. It was amazing. Languages. Unlearned languages to them were being spoken. It's a miracle. It's supernatural. God had come by the Holy Spirit. Yes, He had indeed come. How did the apostles react? Well, with amazement, surely. With utter amazement. But now their waiting was over. Their waiting was over. Hallelujah. Their emptiness had been alleviated. They were now filled just as Jesus had promised. Glory to His name. What a good God He is. We see the dramatic transformation with them. Look at Peter. Dear Peter. He was a bit presumptuous. He was also a coward. But how Jesus still loved him. He realized in the end that, well, he'd blown it big time. Would there ever be forgiveness? Would he ever be able to be used of God? But God, He made sure it was Peter. He poured out His Spirit upon him. Peter was transformed. The power of God. This is what God does. This is why we need the Spirit. Transform lives. Look what we read about in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. We read some this. Well, before we get there, it changed their company. It changed the way they acted and reacted. They now had real love for each other. They really did. You see, in chapter 2 and the end there, it says in verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They had a new purpose. They loved each other. They communicated with each other. They saw themselves as one in Christ. Oh, they'd still got a long way to go, so have you and me. We've got all the canon of Scripture at our disposal. We can look back. We can learn from their mistakes. We still argue and bitter amongst ourselves. We still want the highest place. We still fall out with our neighbours. We still can be dishonest at work. God forbid! We can still have tensions within family which are not resolved. You see, we have these issues come upon us, but as believers in Jesus, having his life now within us, we are without excuse. So many encouragements. You see, I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. I know enough about myself, my thoughts, my heart, to know that it's desperately wicked and I have such stupid thoughts at times. I can't reform myself. I try, I make New Year's resolutions, I keep them for a day or two, and then something upsets me and I go back to old Jim. Not a pretty sight. But the new life has come. Life of Jesus is his power at work within me and within you, transforming you to become more like Jesus. You are not on your own. You're not an orphan. You have Christ living within you, and he wants to baptize you afresh so that we don't live life at a poor, miserly, beggarly rate. Stinginess should be out of the window. It should not be in our vocabulary. We have life. Have something that others need to know. I was going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. You see, this is the church. This is believers. It says very clearly in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but what does it say? Be filled with the Spirit. You've been filled? Well, go on being filled. Speaking to what a communication, fellowship. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. When you have the life of Christ, when you've been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, this is God's supernatural. It works out in practice. Glory be to his name. And when we fail one another, when we fail the Lord, we confess it quickly. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Don't hold grudges against your loved ones. Don't hold grudges against family members and the church community. We see communication there. We see the joy. We see thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. This action is supernatural. You see, and it also says that they were in subjection to one another. This isn't natural. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, the scripture says. You fear God? Well, then submit to one another. Don't boss each other about. Esteem others better than yourselves. Learn from one another. And then when you need to speak a word of correction, by God's grace it's received. And you will receive it as well when it's needed for you. Because there's respect, there's yielding, there's love. And we know what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Wow. You see, this hadn't been their disposition before. This tells me this is the Lord at work. What was the apostles' attitude at times? I want the seat next to Jesus. I want the best seat. I want to be seated. And even if it wasn't them, it was their mums or whatever, saying, make sure my little boy is sitting by the Father, the right hand. I'm not going to wash your feet. Oh, well, Jesus can do it. Yeah, he can do it. Now it's different. Oh, they have love one for another. Well, isn't the attribute of God love? Isn't the fruit of the Spirit love? Hallelujah. What a transformation. And yes, of course, there would have been a lot of emotion at Pentecost. A lot of emotion at Pentecost. But also a deep spiritual work was going on inside. And it flowed out to others. flowed out to others. God has promised his presence for us. We know before he did ascend up on high, he gave the great commission, didn't he? He said, go. Go in, out into the world. Go. Make disciples. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them all I've taught you. That's why we need to know the word. So as we can teach it. This is what discipling is all about. Go. But he then says, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. He's with us by his Holy Spirit. Blessed be his name. You're no longer orphans. You have the Lord himself. Go! We sung that song just now. You are the hope of the lost. Give us the inheritance. The lost! Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, if our sister and brother have gone up to London today in their own strength, they will fail miserably. But if they've gone in the power of the Holy Spirit and have the prayers of the people, I believe great things can happen. Same with you when you're witnessing to your neighbour, your loved one, who's still in the dark, the veil has still not been removed. Don't give up hope. With God, all things are possible. This is why he's come. Hallelujah. Well, if, like the apostles, you're running on empty, you need Christ, you need the Holy Spirit, I do, we need to respond in faith. In faith. Oh, do not doubt. Without faith, we cannot please God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by believing. Trust. Respond by faith. We cannot live the Christian life on our own. You and I need to admit our own inadequacies. We do. We need to confess it to the Lord. And then seek the more, the filling of the Holy Spirit. He will not fill our sails with the wind of the Holy Spirit unless we admit that those sails are empty. And so that requires humility and confession. But let me remind you, Jesus came to give us life. And he has sent his Holy Spirit. Praise be to the great and wonderful name of Jesus. He has sent his Holy Spirit to baptize us with life, with love, with power, to give life to the full. And focus, nothing, I believe, attracts the truly spiritual, the hungry, the hurting, like someone who is living Jesus' life radically and dangerously at the cutting edge. That's what we need. Are you? Am I? I hope so. If not, let's humble ourselves even now this morning. God is here. There's no lack with the Lord. We have plenty of lack. We have plenty of self. That's why we need Jesus and his Holy Spirit. You know, there's in the Beatitudes, there's one, isn't it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus. They shall be filled. They shall be filled. Well, if you're hungering this morning, if you're thirsting, the promise is you'll be filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we didn't read this part, but it carries on in verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. One day, there was a man called H.C. Booth. He was an American. Some of you will have heard of him. And he was sitting in his lounge, as he was wont to do. And as he was sitting, looking out of his window and watching the sunset, Well, he lives, H.C. Booth lived in the Midwest of America, and there was constant dust storms, lots of dust storms. And he was watching the dust blowing all around as he was looking out the window. And as he watched this scene, he thought to himself, what if we could reverse the wind so instead of blowing the dust around, it actually sucked the dust up? Later that year, H.C. Booth invented the vacuum cleaner. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Brother, sister, regardless of your age, whether you're young, middle-aged or elderly, whatever your age, this is the promise of God. God's Spirit can birth in your heart a dream, a vision of what can be. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. If you pray that prayer, God will answer it. That's how much He loves you. Are you empty enough to want Him? Are you dreaming that dream? Or have you given up saying, oh, I'm past it. Or oh, I'm too young, I can wait. No. You're on earth for a purpose. You'd have gone home if there wasn't a purpose. That part of that purpose, very fundamentally, is go ye and make disciples. But a dream for your life. Perhaps you've given up. Perhaps it seems failure inside and all around. This is God's word. This is God's promise. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on the Lord. See what He will do. Let Him birth hope, dream, vision in you. He is at work in you to perform His purpose according to His blessed will. What is more, that's what gives God pleasure. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we admit our own lack, our own inadequacies, and sometimes, Lord, although we're empty, we can be so filled of self. Oh, how stupid that is, Lord. How ignorant we are. But thank you for your compassion. Thank you, you are long-suffering. Each and every one who is before you now, Lord, you know, you see. You may have seen tears, you may have seen hardness, but Lord, we're before you now. We're saying, let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow on our sails. We want Jesus. We want to be filled again, Lord. We want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we need, because the world needs to see your people on fire for you and seeing the true signs and wonders. Lord, I pray you will baptize any amongst us today who have never been filled truly with the Holy Spirit, where you've not come in a fresh, exciting way. Will you come? May there be hearts calling upon you now. Fill me, fill me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. We recognize you've been sent from the Father. Dear Lord, come. Will you blow upon us, upon your people? Will you fill anew? Any cleansing, Lord? The fire of the Holy Spirit needs to come among us. Make your people willing in the day of power, I pray. Make us willing in the day of your power, and that we will be refreshed and revived in you. Bring revival upon us, Lord, we pray. Bring revival, bring revival, bring revival. Any here, Lord, who have given up or almost given up hope, perhaps for their loved one, perhaps at their family, perhaps at themselves, perhaps their ministry, perhaps, Lord, whatever, a hard situation in the workplace, given up, almost given up and questioning things because they see the terrible things going on around them, in the town, in the world. Give them a dream. Give them a vision. Birth something in them. Birth hope now, Lord. And in me. And in me. Those who are struggling, may they lift up their eyes and see Jesus. Jesus. Lord, those who have been tested. Tested by fire even. May they persevere and you uphold them. And you will bring them through, cleansed, renewed, purified. I pray we, each one of us, will be on fire for you. And that we will lift up our eyes and see the harvest fields. They're white, they're ready for harvesting. We must go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must. Lord, come. You won't disappoint us if we're truly waiting upon you. Thank you for this wonderful account of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that when times do really get hard for your people, we're still to be looking up on high, looking to Jesus and looking for his return, looking for our complete redemption. Hallelujah. So encourage your people now that we call upon your name.